Child of God, and I'm no daughters. Let us sing our freedom. Oh, 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 oh. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Fall sure, I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song stand, and you never do.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one.
For a heart sing. We just come to you today. We're so thankful for the blood. God, we're so thankful all you have done for us. God, we're thankful that for those that are here today, we're thankful, God, for the word that will be spoken. Lord, we pray for Brother Darrell as he delivers your word today. God, we lift him up to you. God, we just pray that you would help us to open our hearts and our minds to receive those things you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, well, well. This is my older sister, Carol, is with us this morning, and it looks like several inmates have escaped with her. We're on live stream, so they can't hear you. The people who are watching. So what are you doing here? You're what?
We escaped and we're on.
Okay, you're on the run. You've been to a women's conference or something.
No, we're going to Orange Beach,
Alabama. Okay, I feel sorry for you. What are you doing there?
Hanging out.
Okay. Boy, that's really tough. All of you are retired and wealthy, and so... You just kind of do what you want to do. I don't know if I would have noticed if Dee Dee hadn't said, look real closely. All right, good to see you. The rest of you, yeah, it's good to see you too. All right, good to be here today. I've got a few things to say, but I do want you to go ahead and open your Bible to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, as we go through the book of Matthew on Sundays. We're coming toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and we have looked at two gates, two trees. Today is two declarations, and next Sunday, no, that's what I'm going to talk to you about. Next Sunday is different, but when we come back to the Sermon on the Mount, it'll be two houses. So today is two declarations, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. There's an outline this on the back side of your announcements if you'd like to use that, and a lot of it will also be on the screen. Brother Tony talked about this last week, and I want to talk about it today, and then we'll move on. Next Sunday, We're calling it Sowers of the Seed Sunday. We have some Bibles up here that our church bought, and very simple, nothing complicated whatsoever. Next Sunday, we're going to give everybody a chance to take a Bible. We're not going to give you one. You take one. And we're asking you, it may seem odd, but we're asking you to take one, okay, not 10. And the point is that we're asking everyone, if you would, to take one. The point is it's not overwhelming, okay? We're not trying to give you much more than any of us can do. It's very simple. Just take one. Take the Bible that you take and give it to someone else. As simple as that, okay? Give it to someone else. You can talk to them about it. You can just say, here, you know, we don't care. Just give it to someone else. Now, here's the thing. This is a stretch for some of us, but that's good. Now, I promise you, next Sunday, I already know what I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach on come and go, come and go. Okay, I'm not going to pressure you. I try to be like Jesus. Jesus is like the worst salesman ever. He said, if you come after me, you're not going to have a place to stay. You're on your own, you know, that kind of thing. He never tries to talk anybody into it. He just says, here it is. Here I am, okay? And so I try to be that way too. I will not pressure you at all, but we do want to give you the opportunity. I will not ever pressure you. I don't mind to challenge you, okay? And for some of us to take a Bible and hand a Bible, just one, to someone else is a challenge. You know what? That's okay. That's okay. You will live through it. It is, and it's okay to get out of our comfort zone a little bit. It's okay to do something that maybe we've never done before. Now, for some of you, I mean, that's no thing at all. But for some of you, you know, that's a kind of a big deal, and I have to think about that, and that's what I want you to do. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. Here's what I want you to do. This week especially, and we've been announcing this, but this week, I want you to pray about who you will give your Bible to. I've been praying about it. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I've got an idea, you know, I've got a thought, but I'm not sure. But I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take one. I'm gonna hand a Bible to somebody. And so I'm gonna ask you to be praying about it this week. And I'm gonna ask you if it seems a stretch for you to be willing to say, this is a stretch for me, but I'm gonna do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stretch out and do something that maybe I've never done before because I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to, okay? So that's next Sunday. Next Sunday is come and go. Matt, I already know what I want on the title page. You know the come and go convenience store, come and go? I want that, and then we'll work on the text. So we already know what it's going to look like. Okay, that's next Sunday, Lord willing. Sowers of the seed, and that's what this is. This morning, Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, give me just a little bit of a water break. My sister being here just got me all shook up. Could you not talk our other sister into coming too? No? Okay. All right, Matthew 7, 21-23. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I just got to stop doing that. I'm not sorry. This morning's kind of, it's heavy, okay? It's serious. But that's what the text is, okay? So I'm just going to preach exactly what the text is, and then we're going to have a chance to respond to it, okay? Here we go. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. It's getting heavier than I thought. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now pay attention, look closely. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? That's preaching, teaching, Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? We not do all that? Look at the list. Here's what I want you to see. Look at the list of good things. When I read this text, there are so many ways. This is one of those things that Jesus does, and Jesus says that you could teach so much on this one thing. And so I had to pick out one way to go. And this is the way I believe the Lord wants us to go this morning. Look at the list that somebody standing before Jesus on Judgment Day, the last day, however you want to say it, standing before Jesus saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these good things? And it's a really impressive list. That's a really good list if you're going to list off good things that you've done. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you, and I'm going to say this right now, and I'm not impressed with your list. I was going to say that later, and I might say it again, but the Lord says to us, I'm not impressed with your list. I didn't ask you for a list. You're standing before the Lord. He didn't ask you for your list. Okay? They say, Lord, Lord, he says to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And this isn't the message, and you've heard me say this often, but I actually heard somebody go through this last week. You already know what I'm going to say. But they had a list of things they're going to ask Jesus when they see him. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. When you see Jesus face to face, you're not going to be giving him a list of your good deeds and your accomplishments. In the book of the Revelation, I can't remember the chapter, when the elders are around the throne and they've got these crowns on their head. I'm having a hard time getting through this one. So they had the crowns on their head, and they cast their crowns at his feet. They didn't have a list of things they're going to ask him. They don't have a list of things they're going to confront him about. They don't have a list of things they didn't know, and God, why did you do this and that? It's not going to be like that. And I hope if I ever have a crown, that's exactly what I'm going to do with mine, is cast that crown at his feet. Okay. I was going to say sorry. I'm not sorry, okay? This is a heavy one. Okay, looking at your outline, then looking at the screen, the next screen is, the issue is never the good things we have done, but the bad things we've done. That's the issue. But they did what a lot of people do, what I've heard countless people do, probably 100% of us have done. I've done it, you've done it, and when we talk about spiritual things or just where we are where we are with Christ, where we are with God, do you believe in God? And 100% of us at times have said this, well, I'm a good person, and I'm a good dad. And I try hard at that, and I'm a good dad, and I work hard, or I'm a good mom, and I take care of my family, and I'm a good person, and I'm trying my best to do good things, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but that's not the issue. And there's these people, whoever they are, there will be some, a lot of them, who will stand before God, and they start on their list of good things. But the issue is never the good things we've done, but the bad things we've done. But Satan has a way of twisting that around, and we'll get to that. Satan has a way of twisting that around and making the good things we've done the issue. And so, yeah, I'm a good dad, or I try to be. I work hard at that. I work hard at my job. I try to be good. I try to treat people right. I try to be fair. I try to be good. And then not only do we talk about that about ourselves, but we really get into it when we talk about someone else. We talk about our Talking about our children, our spouses, or whatever. And we always want them to look good, and we always try to make them look good. Well, they're trying hard, and they're working at it hard, and they're doing a good job, and it always comes down to that, doesn't it? Sometimes, somewhere, all of us are guilty of talking about the good, but that's not the issue, and it never is. Jesus didn't come to die for your good deeds. Jesus didn't come to talk to you about your good deeds. And here it is again. I'm sorry about this. I don't mean to discourage you, but he is not at all impressed with your good deeds. He could get anybody to do that. He could get anyone to do that. He doesn't need me to do this right now. He doesn't need me at all. But anybody could do this if he has the power and puts the power in them and through them. It's not your good deeds. He's not impressed with your good deeds. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Jesus came to pay for our sin, not for the things we've done right and the things we've done well. And so they gave Jesus a list of all the things, all the good things that they've done. And Jesus' response is, that's not the issue. Depart from me, because there has been sin, because there have been some things that you need forgiven for, even with all the good things. I want to use the story of Adam and Eve, the scriptures, Genesis chapter 3, 4 through 6. This will be on the screen. You can turn in your own Bible if you would like to. Genesis 3, 4 through 6. I'm going to use the screen. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You'll not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then what did they do? So Satan takes the one bad thing. I've told you often, Eve didn't eat a bushel of fruit. She just ate one. So Satan takes, there's one tree. There's one thing that you're not supposed to do. There's one tree. There's one bad thing. Surrounded by good, there's one bad thing. And Eve and Adam take of and partake of and take that one bad thing. But Satan takes that one bad thing and makes it look good. Satan takes that one bad thing and twists your mind and twists other people's mind and makes it not look so bad. And that's what he's doing with sin all the time. He's making it not look that bad. And he wants us to concentrate on the good we've done. He's always doing that. Concentrate and focus on the good we've done and twist it around to where the bad doesn't look so bad. In fact, it looks good. And so Satan does that. As the story goes on, Adam and Eve, instead of humbly confessing, they hide themselves from God. They try to hide it as if God won't see it, the bad. Trying to make everything look good, but keep the bad hidden. So maybe, and maybe others, which in this case there's only two, but the others, you know, won't see it. And so they're hiding the bad instead of confessing the bad. And then the story goes on. You know the story. We're not going to read the whole thing. The story goes on. God confronts them, finally finds them, even though he knows where they are. When this is going to happen twice, it's going to happen with Adam and Eve, and then it's going to happen with Cain. God calls out to them. He knows where they are. What's he want them to? He wants them to answer. He wants to make them answer. So he calls out to them, "Where are you?" And finally they step out from where they have hidden, and they're standing before God, and God questions them, and questions Adam first. He said, "Adam, what have you done?" "Well, okay, I've done a bad thing, but it really wasn't me," right? If you know the story, God, it really wasn't. It was who? It was my wife's fault. Which, you know, there's nothing really wrong with that. But it is my wife's fault. And how did Adam put it? You remember? He said, it's Eve's fault. She gave it to me. It's not my fault. It's Eve's fault. But do you remember how Adam put that? It's Eve's fault. The woman you gave me. It's the woman's fault. The woman you gave me. What's Adam saying? He's saying there's two people at fault, right? Eve's at fault, and who else? God. Haven't you seen that in so many different ways? It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault, and it's God's fault. Why did God make me like this? Why did God put this in my path? Why did God? And they never humbly confessed, I did it. God, it's not Eve's fault. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I did it. I willingly did it. And so God goes from Adam to Eve, and Eve really, really close to the same thing. What's Eve said? It's the snake's fault. Okay, she didn't come out and say it, but who created the snake? God did. It's the snake's fault. God, the snake you made. So it's very close to the same thing. I never really saw in this story until I read this a few times getting ready to preach. I never really seen this before. After we went through all this, they never said, I'm wrong. It's my fault. They never humbly confessed. And then they raised two sons. Remember? And they're out in the field one day, and Cain kills Abel, his brother. And God sees it, knows it, and again, God almost is like he's pretending he doesn't know. Cain, where is your brother? And Cain says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he never humbly confessed. And so Adam and Eve never humbly confessed, and they raised a son who became just like them. Never humbly confessing. God, it's not my parents' fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not the teacher at school. It's not my friends at school. It's not their fault. It's not the fault of the way I was raised. God, it's me. God, through Jesus Christ, there is something wrong with me. There is something wrong with me. And I confess that to you. Okay. We're going to go through nothing. I'm sorry. There you go. All right. We're going to go from there to the scriptures. And that's all we're going to do. We have on our literature rack in the back, we have something. We always have it on the rack, something called the Romans Road. That's pretty much what we're going to do here. You can, anytime you can get one of those, put it inside your Bible, put it just somewhere where you can get it if you want to help somebody else with that. What we're going to do right now, it's on your outline. You're going to have it on the screen. If you want to take the outline that you've got in front of you and put that in your Bible or keep that somewhere where you can help somebody else with this, but this is what we're going to do. This is what the Bible says. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, they've fallen. We have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one in the room who does not fall into this category. No one. Because there's never been anybody born who doesn't fall into this. All have sinned. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Hold it right there. Jesus died for us. In that while you were still a sinner, Jesus died for you. Like Adam, like Cain, God is calling out for you. Where are you? Where are you? When they were hiding from him, he was searching for them. That has never changed. While you're hiding from him, he's searching for you. And while you were still a sinner, Jesus died for you. You didn't ask him to do it. He did it for you. And now he's searching for you. While you were still a sinner, Jesus died for you. And then Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, I've been doing this over and over and over and confessing over and over. And I'm not being saved again and again and again. I'm just living a lifestyle, trying to, wanting to, aiming to live a lifestyle, confessing over and over again. God, it's not the good things I've done, but it's the bad things that I've done. And I'm trying to not be too proud to confess it to you. Okay? Now, we're going to end with this. It's a story, perfect story Jesus told, and it's Luke 18:10-14. I love the way it starts. Two men went up to the temple to pray. I think about this story a lot, and I just love the way it starts. I don't know why. Two men went up to the temple to pray. And when I think about that phrase, I just can see this story. One, a Pharisee. And the other, a tax collector, which is a notable sinner, okay? The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You see that? The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. The next phrase, here's the list. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We're going to leave this up here. In our text where we started, there's these people standing before Jesus on the last day. Look at all the good things that I've done. And Jesus said, depart from me. I don't even know you. I'm not impressed with that. And here we have a Pharisee who's supposed to be like one of the most spiritual men giving God his list. And then there's a sinner like me who wouldn't even lift up his eyes. And his whole prayer was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's going to be our prayer time. I'm going to ask our musicians to come on up. It's one of those messages that's hard to preach, probably hard to listen to, heavy, not light, it's not fun. I haven't tried to make you laugh. I'm not trying to make you cry. I'm asking you to be honest. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's our prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's going to be our prayer. Do you want to pray that? Do you need to pray that? All of us in the room at times have needed to pray that. That's all it's going to be. Are you willing to be humble enough to come and pray that? Are you willing to be humble enough in a public way, in a public place, come to the front at an altar at this stage or at these chairs and pray that. Are you still into giving, talking to God about your list of good things? I'm trying to stop that. It's not about the good things. It's about my sin. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you want to come and need to come to an altar and pray, just that simple prayer, and talk to God about that, then while they play and sing, if you will humble yourself and come and pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
you are.